Welcome. Thanks for coming out on this Pioneer Day weekend. We've chosen what I think is an interesting topic this week. We've called it the Yoga of Laughter. Now, when we think of yoga, you know, we'll look at Kristen here, and she's sitting in the lotus position with the mudra of knowledge, with her back straight and her eyes half closed, and she's concentrating on the breathing. On another occasion, you might find her teaching a class here on our Monday through Thursday night yoga classes, where the body is being strengthened and flexibility is being preserved and increased. And the principle behind all these various practices is that we're taking what has been embedded within us, what talents and abilities that we have been given by the Supreme, and we're glorifying Him with those. Our body is like a temple, and so when we strengthen and make the body more flexible, it gives glory to He from whom this body comes. Meditation is practiced not on something impersonal or void, but those who are meditators, who are real yogis, are urged to meditate upon the smiling, laughing face of the Lord. The Lord Himself is the source from which everything comes, and so if there's laughter in this world, it has to have originated with God. And that means, that tells us that God has a sense of humor. In fact, His sense of humor is so dazzling and His smile is so attractive that yogis are encouraged to meditate upon the smile and the laughter of the Lord rather than something void or impersonal. Do you more often find yourself thinking about people or about things? Do you find yourself more often thinking about people or about energy? We think about people all the time. Practically speaking, people consume our thoughts most of the day, every day. And that's because people are interesting. And people are interesting because they come from the Supreme Person, who's the most interesting entity. In fact, of all the various names of God, and there are hundreds of thousands of them in different cultures, Krishna is the one most preferred by great saints and sages because it means all attractive. And not the least of the Lord's attractive qualities are His sense of humor. So if you're interested in more information about this or any of the subject matter, here's our website, utahkrishnas.org. This is our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the founder of our International Society for Krishna Consciousness, which has 400 branches all over the world. So we're going to talk about the yoga of laughter. Is it okay if I start with a joke? All right. A guy bought a dog, and he tried to train the dog, but all of his efforts met to no avail. No matter what he did, the dog would just, it wouldn't respond. It wouldn't pick up on any of the lessons that he was trying to teach the dog. So his neighbor, who was an evangelist, claimed to have expertise in training dogs. He said, "Give me your dog for 24 hours, I'll train it up." So the owner of the dog, thinking he had nothing to lose, he gave his dog to the evangelist. 24 hours later, the evangelist got the dog back, and he said, "Your dog is fully trained. Show me." Well, the evangelist said, "Sit," and the dog sat. Amazing. I couldn't get him to do that for the life of me. "Can you do another trick?" And then the evangelist, he threw a stone, and the dog, and he said, "Fetch," and the dog went, and he fetched the stone. So the owner was just amazed and stupefied. He said, "That's incredible. You have such a gift." He said, "Can I try a trick with him?" And the evangelist said, "Sure." So the owner, he said to the dog, he said, "Heel." At which point, the dog lifted one paw, put it on his forehead, and said, "I command you, sickness, to leave." Health just shot through your body. Whenever you laugh, health shoots through your body. Your immune system is boosted. Laughter releases endorphins, which are 50 to 100 times more powerful than morphine, that make you feel good about yourself, good about other people, good about your position in the universe. Statistics show that people who laugh, they're healthier, they live longer, they're calmer, they're more creative, they build better relationships. It said that if you can laugh at it, you can live with it. If you can laugh at it, you can live with it. There are so many benefits from laughter. And yet, as we get older, we get weighed down, it seems, by responsibilities. We get overburdened by bills to pay, kids to raise, deadlines at the office. And we sort of lose that spontaneity, that reflexive reaction to things by laughing at them. A child laughs 400 times a day, and an adult, on the average, laughs only 15 times a day. So we have to be careful not to lose our sense of humor, because it is our sense of humor that helps us cope with the problems of life. That's how we get through it. We laugh at it. That's so important. That's so good. I'm going to say it again. That's how we get through it. We laugh at it. But some of us over the years have become sour, don't have any more humor. It's all work, no play. Everything is serious and solemn. When we walk in the room, our kids, our family members, our fellow employees, oh, here comes old Stiffy, you know, here comes old Uptight. But our body was just not meant to live that way. We were not meant to live without joy. Joy is an amazing thing. It's an antidote to depression. It combats anxiety. It's like a tranquilizer that has no side effects. It's free of charge, and you don't even need a prescription in order to get it. So many benefits. It's a shock absorber. If you want to have less stress in your life, you need to learn to laugh at your circumstances and find the fun in the frustrating. It is said, for the despondent, every day brings trouble, and for the happy heart, life is a continual feast. I don't think any of us had anywhere near the burdens on our shoulders that Abraham Lincoln had. And here's his secret, here's his key. If it hadn't been for laughter, I could not have made it. Most famous comedians, if you examine their early lives, most of them grew up in inner city ghettos, where there was crime, there was drug addiction, there were broken families, there were so many problems, so many anomalies in the circumstances in which they grew up. And they learned to deal with those circumstances by finding the humor in it, by learning to laugh at it. Laughter helped them get through life and get to where they were now. And the beautiful thing is, you know, comedians, they're always worried about material. You know, they're always having to come up with new material. If you're interested in laughing at life, you'll never run out of material. Every day, there'll be so much material that will present itself for you that you'll never, never, ever run out of material to laugh at. And the interesting thing is that laughter stimulates the right side of the brain, which is the creative side of the brain. Oftentimes, you know, we're so serious and we're so intent, we're so focused on this problem, and the answer eludes us. We just cannot seem to come up with the answer to the problem. We'll try taking a break, listen to a joke, tell a joke, even without a joke, just... No one just told me a joke, but my body doesn't know the difference. My body doesn't like say, hey, what are you laughing at? There's nothing to laugh at. Nobody told you a joke. My body feels good. I can honestly share you with that, just that few seconds. My body feels good. It feels like there's healthy stuff running through my body. And I just faked it. I just faked it, but the body doesn't know the difference. And oftentimes, when you induce laughter, it'll stimulate the right side of the brain, and so the answer to that problem, which eluded you, which you literally bang your head against the wall, voila, lo and behold, it just presents itself before you. Here's a definition of laughter from Wikipedia, and it makes you want to laugh just reading the definition. To express certain emotions, especially mirth or delight, by a series of spontaneous, usually unarticulated sounds, often accompanied by corresponding facial and bodily movements. Noises often accompany this odd behavior, ranging from controlled snickers, escaped chortles, and spontaneous giggles to ridiculous cackles, noisy hoots, and uproarious guffaws. It just makes you want to laugh reading that. The laughter is a valuable tool, and we shouldn't leave it unused in our toolbox. God supplied us with it, and it's for a purpose of getting us through, especially the tough times in life. It's like a medicine. I'm going to show this little clip. It's about a minute long. A man has applied for a job, and he's gotten the rejection letter back. Now, for most people who had applied to a job, taken the trouble to apply for it, got their hopes up, and got a rejection letter back, that would spoil the whole day, right? If not the whole week. Well, here's how this man deals with it with his little infant child. And you'll understand after this short video that this actually reverse of circumstances makes his whole day. And it might make your day too.
Oh,
Says a hearty laugh makes a healthy heart. Laughter is good for your heart. It increases circulation. It increases the oxygenation of the brain and the heart and the delivery of nutrients to tissues throughout your body. It reduces blood pressure. Humor helps to stimulate the brain. It helps to solve problems. It increases your immune system. It is God's prescription drug. God wants you to use laughter in order to combat all those things. It costs nothing. It has no side effects. If you laugh regularly, you're going to be more creative. You're going to have fresh ideas. You're going to be more effective. You're going to sleep better. It said a cheerful heart is good medicine. A relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life. Do you know your enemies hate to see you laugh? If you want to really irk your enemies, have a good hearty laugh within their presence. It will cause them to gnash their teeth, because when you laugh, it means that you're getting stronger. It means that you're getting more creative. It means that you're getting more calm. It means that favor and grace are flowing over your body. So if you want to irk your enemies, let them see you laugh. One doctor in India, in fact, has realized the medicinal effects of laughter are so great and so many that he has instituted laughing clinics throughout the world, beginning in Bombay. His name is Dr. Kataria. And he'll tell you a little something about it. One interesting thing that I thought that he said was, again, the body doesn't know the difference. If you induce laughter, the body just doesn't know the difference. All those beneficial chemicals and results come whether there's actually cause for the laughter or not. And another thing he said is that if you fake it, you can make it. You know, he brings people together at certain regular intervals, and they're stated objective is to laugh, but obviously not all the people that gather feel like laughing at that time. You might have lost a friend or a relative within the last week or month, and you don't feel like laughing. But if you laugh, it will provide an antidote to whatever is ailing you. If you fake it, you will make it. If you fake it, you will make it. So here's Dr. Kataria, and you'll see glimpses of his clinics, which are held all over the world, called the Yoga of Laughter.
And these benefits being studied in India by a doctor who's become almost obsessed by the idea that laughter really is the best medicine. And he organizes groups that meet every morning just to laugh. Makes you feel fresh throughout the day. You inhale more oxygen, and it has been proved by scientific studies that laughter helps you to unwind the negative effects of stress, and also it boosts your immune system. And all this minor symptoms of cough, cold, sore throat, and infections will go down significantly. In laughter exercise, we do start as a fake laughter, as a kind of forced laughter. But when you laugh in a group, you have a good eye contact, it turns into real. So half of it is made and half of it is real.
But does it matter for the form of the benefit?
Same set of happy chemicals are released, whether laughter is forced or whether laughter is real.
So the body doesn't know the difference?
Yes, that's incredible.
Okay. It's okay to go to
the class. We have a slogan called fake it until you make it.
Well, we all have a good laugh here, right? But what struck me was how easy it was to get started, because we had a lot of friendly, warm, funny faces coming at you. You respond very naturally. And a lot of the time when we were people you like, we laugh, although there isn't anything very funny going on. Although, of course, the whole thing's wonderfully ridiculous.
Dr. Kataria's mission has led him to set up clubs in unusual places. He invited me to attend the first session with a lovely group of murderers, rapists and robbers in a Bombay prison.
The prisoners have a lot of stress, a lot of depression, and they're away from the family and they have a lot of anger inside them. And laughter helps you to allay your anger feeling.
Ready? Start.
Sitting here, I found myself wondering, do we really want villains to be having quite such a good time? And I remembered that people who are supposed to benefit from this are not just the prisoners, but also the prison staff.
I'm shocked by how laughter connects you with people. It's almost impossible to maintain any kind of distance or any sense of social hierarchy when you're just howling with laughter. Laughter is a force for democracy.
I like what he says about making it impossible and maintaining any sort of hierarchy. Laughter is the great equalizer. Everybody's the same. When you're laughing, there's no high, there's no low, there's no rich, there's no poor. And another thing laughter does, it puts you in the moment. Yogis and ascetics do disciplines and austerities for years and years and years to sort of penetrate the moment. It's worries about the future and laments about the past that raise our blood pressure and make us tense and uptight. If we can delve into the moment, we feel ourselves consoled and happy. And so that goal, which is only painstakingly attained by great yogis and ascetics, it's achieved when you laugh. I couldn't care less about the future, and I don't care what happened in the past. I'm just in the moment right now. And of course, this all comes from God. And we serve God by laughing. We don't serve God by being grim and somber and all work and no play. God doesn't like that. It means we've lost sight of the spiritual part of life. We become too much engrossed in the problems of the immediate future. Look at Krishna there. He's always smiling. You'll never see a picture or a murti of Krishna where he's not smiling. He sees everything past, present, and future. In the big picture, when you see from the big picture, there's nothing really to get worried about. We say sometimes a cloud is covering the sun. Now, is that objectively possible? Does a cloud cover the sun? The sun is like, you know, it's like hundreds and hundreds of times bigger than the Earth planet. So how can a cloud cover the sun? But we say a cloud covers the sun because of our limited vision. If you were standing on the sun planet, you would never make the mistaken statement that a cloud covers the sun. It would simply not be an issue with you. So similarly, many of the things that we trip up about, many of the places that we get stuck, many of the resentments that we suffer from years and years and years, a lot of the bitterness comes from not seeing the big picture. And all we have to do is come into the temple and look at Krishna and see how he's never morose, how he's always happy, how he's always smiling, and then we also elevate our consciousness to a higher level beyond the mundane. This is the quote that I mentioned earlier. The yogis are encouraged to meditate upon the smiling face of the Lord. With devotion steeped in love and affection, the yogi should meditate within the core of his heart upon the laughter of Lord Krishna. The laughter of Krishna is so captivating that it can easily be meditated upon. Look at this. God created everything, including this orangutan. Now look at the orangutan and tell me that God doesn't have a sense of humor. Can you do that? Look at yourselves. Look at ourselves and how we're created. And tell me that God doesn't have a sense of humor. If you want to be more godly, you want to connect with God, you want to reflect God's qualities, learn to laugh. Learn to laugh. In Prabhupada's literature, this is our founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, and he wrote many, many books translating and commentaries on the scripture, and we have it on a Veda base, we have it on a DVD. So when I was preparing this talk, I just entered the search term laughter. And you know how many times in his works Prabhupada uses the word laughter? 4,272 times. 4,272 times he uses the word laughter in his literature. So you want to be more godly, learn how to laugh. This is one of the major literatures that Prabhupada translated for us. It's called The Nectar Devotion. Originally the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Rupa Goswami. There are whole chapters cataloging different types of laughter that go on in the spiritual world. These are chapter headings. Conjugal laughter, laughter in chivalry, laughter in paternity, laughter in fraternity, sarcastic laughter, laughter showing the teeth, laughter not showing the teeth, laughter with arms folded, laughter with clapping. All these are broken down and categorized. An example of paternal laughter, we should say maternal laughter, because this happened to Mother Yashoda, whom Krishna awarded the position of mother during his childhood pastimes. One of the ladies from the village came to Mother Yashoda and lodged a complaint about her son Krishna. And the lady said that your son Krishna has stolen into our house and he has stolen all of our butter and yogurt. But in order to make me blame my son before he left the house, he smeared it on his lips. And Mother Yashoda was actually laughing in a mood of maternal affection. She was thinking, my Krishna is so clever. He's such a conniver. When Krishna was on the planet and exhibiting his later pastimes as a king, there was an imposter, a charlatan named Pondraka. And Pondraka had claimed himself to be Vishnu or God. Vishnu carries four symbols, a conch, a lotus flower, a mace, and a discus. So Pondraka went around carrying these four items, and he was so brash and so bold as to send a messenger to Krishna asking Krishna to give up carrying those four items and acknowledge that Pondraka was none other than the Supreme. And Krishna is sitting in the court of the Yadu dynasty, and you can read along with me how he had a good hearty laugh here. When all the members of the royal assembly heard this message sent by Pondraka, they laughed very loudly for a considerable time. After enjoying the loud laughter of all the members of the assembly, Krishna replied to the messenger as follows, "You may carry my message to your master. He is a rascal. I refuse to follow his instructions," which means to give up his implements. He says, "I shall never give up the symbols of Vasudeva, especially my disc." And he's saying, "I will not give up my razor sharp disc because it's what I'm going to use to cut the head off the body of Pondraka." And then later on, Krishna saw Pondraka. He came face to face with Pondraka, and he just looked at him, and he just laughed and laughed and laughed. And he couldn't, this is God, and he couldn't stop laughing at this ridiculous caricature of God. So at the risk of going through a list, I'm citing several instances of different kinds of laughter just to sort of impress upon you the fact that God has a great sense of humor, and we should reflect that in our lives. This is Krishna sitting amongst his cowherd friends, and he's compared to the world, the center of the lotus flower, and his friends are compared to the petals. They're sitting all around in a circle, and Krishna's cutting jokes and causing them to laugh. And they're serving him. Krishna enjoys their laughter. Sometimes we make the mistake of going around and thinking that God is this heavy, solemn judge or magistrate, and he's keeping score, and he's got a baseball bat ready to thump us whenever we mess up. But a much more accurate picture of God is he's amiable, he has a sense of humor, he's laughing and joking with his friends. And here's an example. Krishna says, amongst the company of his friends, he points to the peacock, and just to cut a joke, he says, "This peacock does not know how to dance properly." At that point, Krishna imitated the dancing of the peacock. You can imagine that in your mind's eye, causing great laughter amongst his friends. And one last example is clapping laughter. When one laughs and claps at the same time, that's called clapping laughter. This is an elderly resident of Vrindavan when Krishna was again on the planet exhibiting his childhood pastimes and exhibiting along with that his sense of humor. He addressed one lady called Jatila. He said, "Jatila," he said, "my dear aged woman, the skin of your face is now slackened and so your face resembles a monkey's. As such, the king of the monkeys, Balamukha, has selected you as his worthy wife." So everyone enjoyed Krishna's having a go at Jatila. But Jatila didn't miss a beat. She didn't get intimidated and awed and, oh, God said this, so it must be true. She comes right back. She says, it is true. And there's an audience of cowherd men and cowherd girls. It is true that Balamukhi, he does want me as his wife, but I told him that I'm not interested. I've already taken shelter of Krishna, the killer of many powerful demons, and therefore I've decided to marry Krishna instead of the king of the monkeys. And when she gave this riposte, you see, all the people around clapped and they thought this was just great, you know, God joking with his devotees. He enjoys the joking words of his intimate associates more than he does the hallelujahs and the hosannas and the bended knees and the curia elezans. But we have to get to that level of devotion in order to enjoy that intimacy with the Lord. The Lord is served more by laughing than by reverence and awe and majesty. Now this next, this is our last of three things. I'll give a little explanation. It takes place in a subway. And you'll see the people in the subway. It's a little dark, and it's a little, you know, I'll describe it. You see the people sitting in a subway car. It's somewhere in Europe. And they're just grim. They're grim. They're mistrustful of each other. They won't look each other in the eye. You can just imagine the thoughts that are going through their minds. It's typical mistrust in an urban setting. Now, the subway train stops, and a cherubic-looking man with a round face gets on the train, and he sits down, he takes his seat, he's got a smile on his face, and he's mulling over some secret joke, and he's like, sort of guffaws and chortles are escaping. And the people are looking around and say, who is this kook? Who is this crazy? But then one person sort of gets infected by it. And one person starts chuckling as well. Then another person starts chuckling. It spreads like wired fire. It's contagious. And before long, you have the whole subway car just losing it, totally losing it like that. And then there's a point at which the subway car stops and another passenger gets on and he's like Ichabod Crane. He's like a bookkeeping guy and everyone's trying to repress their laughter and he's looking around sensing that there's something in the air and then someone loses it, someone guffaws and then it's a whole another round of laughter. And then the subway train stops, I think it's a third time, and this Buddha-like man gets off leaving everyone in paroxysms of laughter, and there's another subway train that pulls up, and you look out the window, and he's gotten on the other subway train, and he started to chuckle there. So apparently this guy just goes from train to train to train, removing the barriers between people, bringing them together with this laughter. So here's the guy, he's gotten on the train now.
Woo! So you'll see across the way, there he is, he's taking a seat in the next train. And apparently he does this all day long. This is called the Subway Bodhisattva. Victor Borge said, laughter is the shortest distance between two people. You may be a total stranger, but laughter will open up the door. People will be more likely to hear what you have to say. Laughter makes people open up. It draws people to you. Laughter makes you more attractive. It makes you attractive. You know, if there's a room full of people, don't you look over and see the group that's laughing and wonder what they're talking about? You don't want to go and be part of the group that are all long-faced and whispering amongst themselves. You want to go to be where the laughing people are. There are enough sour people in the world already. There's enough sadness in the world. A lot of people have lost their joy of living. They've been beaten down by problems and disappointments, heartache. They've got stuck in the past. They're full of resentments and bitterness. So we have an opportunity as spiritualists to bring joy, to stand out in the crowd, to make a difference. Laughter is healing. It said here, when the joy of the Lord bubbles out of you, it can break the bondage of depression, sadness, and despair. They found that in hospitals where patients were slow to heal, if they take the patients to a nearby park and sit them down and let them hear the children laughing, it catalyzes their healing. They actually get better quicker. Now, if their healing can be catalyzed just by hearing other people laugh, imagine what it can do if that laughter actually bubbles up from within you. What if it actually bubbles throughout your own body? There are cells in our body called ANC. NKC. They're natural killer cells. And they go after cancer cells, they go after free radicals, and they kill them. And they're activated by laughter. They're activated by good humor. We all have a certain amount of cancer cells in our body. But when we laugh and we express good humor, then those killer cells are activating to go after and kill the cancer cells. But if we don't laugh, if we don't activate those natural killer cells, then we become unhealthy. We become vulnerable to all kinds of anomalies and diseases. So this is the slide here about the negative emotions repressing the natural killer cells that are in us. It says that a cheerful mind works healing, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. Prabhupada, our spiritual master, came to America not until he was 70 years old. And most of his disciples were 20 or at the most 25 years old. And yet in his presence, during the time he was with us from 1965 to 1977, and I was with him maybe two dozen times, we all felt, his 20 and 25 year old disciples, felt that in his spirit he was younger than any of us. So our body will inevitably age, but we don't have to let our spirit age as well. Most of us have just allowed ourselves to get sour and despondent as we've gotten old. But even in your 80s and in your 90s, you can still decide to have fun, to tell jokes, and to be good looking. That's what I've decided. Anyway. I was selling cookies once in San Clemente, California, outside of a Kmart. We used to do bake sales to raise money to build this temple. In fact, we sold so many cookies for 22 years, we thought of calling this the cookie temple at one point. So here I am, and this car actually sails into the parking lot and hits the invalid parking sign. It actually, and it leaves the invalid parking sign at a 45 degree angle. And this man gets out of the car, and he is the most misshapen man I've ever seen in my life. It takes him 10 minutes to open the car door. He hauls his walker out of the back seat, and as he's crossing the little avenue between the parking lot and the door, takes him like 10 minutes. There's six cars parked on either side of the road. And he's got no skin. You know how you sort of lose skin? Well, it's just lesions all over his body, and he's sort of hunched back, misshapen, and I looked at his hands on the walker, and they were like gnarled, twisted up with arthritis and rheumatism. He didn't have a hair on his head, you know. And I'm like in a state of shock. Like, I've never seen anyone in as bad a shape as this, you know. And the amazing thing was, as he walked past me going about this, he looked up at me and he gave me the most dazzling smile. And he said, "Are you having a good day?" And I said, "Yes, now I am. Now that I've seen you, I'm having a great day." And even now, it's like 25 years later, I only have to think of this man to know what it means to be young in spirit, that we don't have to be old as our body gets old. We can still cut jokes, we can still have fun, we can still aspire to be good looking. There was one elderly pastor, he liked to play practical jokes on his congregational members. So he would go up to one of his congregational members, and he would put his hand on his shoulder, and he would say, "George, I've got something on you," looking at him very sternly. And George would like, uh-oh. And George would run over, you know, in his mind, he'd go flip through all the trespasses and all the sins he'd done, and the secret ones, you know, and he'd wonder, is it a secret one that the pastor's got on me? And if it's a secret one, how did he find out about it, you know? And so he kind of like, you know, clears his throat and says, "Okay, pastor, give it to me. What have you got on me?" And the pastor says, "Well, my hand on your shoulder, of course. I mean, what else could you possibly be thinking of?" So laughter keeps us young. Every time we laugh, the youth hormone in our body increases 87%. We might know people that have had a couple of hard years, and in those two hard years, it seems as if they've aged 10 years. That's because they're not using the youth hormone in their body. They're not laughing and they're not staying young. God has given us everything we need to be happy and healthy. We start our course with joy. That baby probably got over the 400 times a day. That's how we start. We're meant to run our course with joy, and we're meant to end our course with joy. We're not meant to start with 400 laughs a day and end with 0 laughs a day. That's not how the race of life is meant to be run. So God has given us everything we need to use it, the tools that He's given us in our box. And for some of us, our laugher has gotten rusty, or it's gotten dusty. We need to pull it out, dust it off, and every day find purposefully reasons to laugh. And if you can't find anything in your circumstances and surroundings to laugh about, just look in the mirror. That's always going to be good for some laughs. Krishna tells us in the Bhagavad Gita, the spirit is ageless. Getting old physically doesn't mean we have to think old thoughts. We talk ourselves into being old and sour. We have official permission from God. God is the ultimate physician. He's our creator. He's giving you permission to laugh, to enjoy life with a sense of humor. You may have serious responsibilities, but that doesn't mean that you can't exercise those responsibilities good-naturedly and have fun and laugh at yourselves. If you had a medicine, if you had a medicine bottle, you see, with directions and dosages and frequencies on the label that did as much good for you as laughter does, you would take it every day as often as it says in whatever quantities it says. So God says, take time for joy, find the good humor in life. Don't have your family members or your coworkers think of you as old, stiffy, as uptight. Don't have them thinking that you should chill out. If you've got children, don't get caught up so much in the raising them that you forget to enjoy them. It's true, we have to put a roof over our children's head. We have to provide for them. And that can be a responsibility. That can be a burden. But God gave us that burden in response to which the children provide us unlimited joy, unlimited opportunities for laughter. So Lisa's smiling here, she's agreeing, you know, her child is a handful. Her child is a handful. And yet, all the running around and all the energy that Aram has, she's right with me. Yeah, the joy that she gets and that Jerry gets from raising Aram is far more than what it costs to educate them or put a roof over their head. When I was young, there was a very popular television show hosted by Art Linkletter, said, "Kids Say the Darndest Thing." It was the most popular show on TV. It reminds me of one story. A young mother was reading to her child from Genesis, reading, "From dust we come and to dust we shall return." About 24 hours later, the little boy ran into her room and said, "Mommy, Mommy, come with me, I got to show you something." He took her mother's hand and she allowed herself to be led. They went into his bedroom and the little boy got them both down on their knees and they looked under the bed to see dust balls under the bed. "See, Mommy, someone's under my bed. I need to know whether they're coming or going." uh,
In ancient times, you know, cities with impregnable walls and fierce warriors, you know how they would be conquered? You know how they would be brought to submission? The wells, the water flowing into the city and through the city would be choked up. From outside, the besiegers would throw debris in it and they would choke up the flow of fresh water into the city. And eventually, that would bring the city down. It would bring everyone in the city to their knees. So some of us are allowing ourselves to be conquered. Our flow of joy has been stopped up by temporary concerns. If you want to see the goodness of God flow once again and reflect God in our lives and be godly, we need to unstop our wells. And we do that with laughter. We need to get our joy back. When we laugh every day, we're continually cleaning out the hard, crusty things that keep us stopped up. Krishna, or God, wants you to fill your mouth with laughter. God's dream for you is that you live with joy. So take time every day to laugh, and get your well unclogged. Look for the humor in life. Laughter not only brings honor to God, but you'll enjoy your life more. You'll have better relationships. You'll be healthier. You'll be more creative. So let each of us finish our course with joy and become everything that God has created us to be. Can you say it with me, with joy? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.